I'm Shuddha Basu, and I'm an author, I'm a poet, I'm a publishing professional, but most of all, I am a compulsive bookworm. Ever since my childhood, when there was no TV, there was no internet, you could not surf it, there was no gaming. So books were my favorite companions. My real journey as a writer, it became a reality when I won the Write India prize at Times of India's Write India campaign. And that is when I realized that this dream within me of being a writer was not a fantasy. It was a reality. I could write and people would read. So that is when I began to write. I started writing in those genres which I loved reading myself. So my debut novel was a psychological thriller called Dangal. Then I went on to write three historical fiction novels. One was Padmavati, then it was The Legend of Genghis Khan, and The Curse of Nadir Shah. Now this last book, The Curse of Nadir Shah, it was awarded the Best Fiction Prize at Author Awards 2020. And that is a cherished award for me because it celebrated the fact that I am a woman and I'm a writer. As a woman, I knew that I could create life. But this award told me that I can create a world of words which readers would want to read. So thank you, Author Awards. So this has been my journey, and do you notice that it has been always about books and books and books? And since books are this important today, if you have the urge to write, you must do so. And it is for that reason that we bring to you this series of creative writing masterclass episodes to help you begin your journey in writing. In this particular episode, we will discuss the nuances of storytelling. Of course, telling stories is not restricted to writers only. Everyone can tell stories, but writers can write them in such a way that people read them. Storytelling is called an art, and it is an art, but it is also a skill which needs to be learned and then honed. So today I'm going to talk to you about certain techniques which will help writing successful stories and how is it that we do them. So the first thing that I will talk to you about are beginnings. How do you begin your story? This is true for all kinds of writing, whether you're writing fiction, whether you're writing non-fiction, whether you're writing children's books, or you're writing a blog, or any kind of writing, because the way you begin your story is the reason a reader will continue to read it, or they will just put the book down. So how do we intrigue and interest our reader? Usually, we would pick up the most interesting thing about our story and begin our story with that. Have you read Chitra Divakaruni's Palace of Illusions? Now, she begins that book with the birth of Draupadi, which was not a natural birth at all. And that intrigued her readers so much that they continued to read. When I began to write Padmavati, I thought to myself, what is it that will intrigue readers who will pick up this book about this queen? And of course, the word that popped in was Johar. So I begin the book with a very brief but a very dramatic scene of the Johar, where the women, girls, children, they're burning in the fire. It's a scene which was very impactful, and I suppose that is the reason why readers continue to read the story till the end. So beginnings, please mark it, are very, very important, how you're opening your story. The next thing that is very important is balance, balancing description and narration. Now, what happens is when you are describing something, if there is too much of it, it becomes boring. It becomes very slow. If you're only narrating, then it becomes free-floating. So you have to balance the both. Now, if you have read Agatha Christie's thrillers, they're thrillers, but they're also very descriptive. So she may be describing a country house, she may be describing her detective, she may be describing a street in the city. But it's a very brief description. She will immediately go to what is the action happening in that scene. So that is how she balances it, and that's why her books are so successful. So when I was writing, let's take the example of historical fiction, because it's very difficult to balance description and narration in a historical fiction, because you have to talk about the historical dates and the events, because your story is based on that. So how it can be done is you can have the historical description in a chapter, and then you can have the story being narrated in another chapter, the next chapter. I have done that, I've used this process in The Legend of Genghis Khan. So one chapter is the history, and the second chapter has the story. The third chapter is again the historical event, and then the fourth chapter is again the story. Now, what happens here is the story continues irrelevant to the historical description. So if the reader wants to read the historical description, he or she is welcome to do so. But even if they don't read it, the story continues. It does not en the historical description does not encroach upon the narration of the story. Another way to do it is to box your historical description so it becomes an aside only for reference. So these are the ways you can balance description and narration in a historical novel. Also remember that narration means dialogue. Conversations are very, very important because they show a variety of things. They can show the character of a person. They can show through the conversation of secondary characters. You can talk about the main character. They show responses to a situation, an event which will probably take a long description in a short conversation. It's all out there for the reader to read. So conversations are extremely important. Dialogues are very important. You must punctuate your narration with them. And there would be times when you might feel that, there's too much dialogue. So then what you can bring in is the stream of consciousness where the protagonist is thinking. And that is what you can write. Or you can bring in monologue and soliloquies. Those also help to break narration and bring forward other nuances of your writing. Look at Charles Dickens. In his book Hard Times, he wants to display the character of Thomas Gradgrind, that he's a pompous and a narrow-minded person. He shows Gradgrind taking a class, and there he asks a girl her name, and she says her name is Sissy. He immediately says, "Sissy cannot be anybody's name. It has to be Cecilia. You must call yourself Cecilia." And that is how Charles Dickens, without saying anything, without directly saying anything, he is showing how pompous Gradgrind is. So these are the reasons, these are the ways, dialogues and narration that can make your writing more interesting, more intriguing to the reader. The third thing, a very important thing, is pace. Pace is the tempo at which your story unfolds. It can start very leisurely, and then it can go at lightning speed. So this pacing, a good pacing, I will call it good pacing, not slow pacing and not too fast, is what, is the final word for a successful story. Now here, how can you do it? Besides, pacing is also a genre agnostic. So whether you're writing a fiction, you're writing nonfiction, anything you write, it needs a good speed. You need to keep your readers' interest all the time going because it builds tension. It brings your story to the crisis. And that is the pace that you need to constantly keep up. Now, how can you do that? So what you can do is you can use short impact sentences. Sometimes just one word. Use always the active voice. Describe deeds, movements, and gestures. Keep focus on the character's goals and keep the setting and the dialogues relevant to the action of your story. I'll give you examples of some films. See Vertigo by Alfred Hitchcock, or Saving Private Ryan, or even older films like The Godfather or Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. The pacing is wonderful in these films. And, you know, from the first scene, it's gripping till the last scene, and all because of the pace at which the story runs. In my book, The Curse of Nadir Shah, I reveal that his wife, Firoze, knows a secret about his past. But I do not reveal the complete secret all at once. It comes in bits and pieces across the story. So the reader will constantly keep reading, you know, trying to find out, oh, what is the secret? What is this that, you know, the writer is talking about? So that is how I kept my readers' interest up. Another way is, another thing about The Curse of Nadir Shah is that there are two stories running parallelly in that book. One, of course, is Nadir's own story, and the other is the story of a plot which is being hatched against him. Until the last scene, the reader will not know the identity of the master plotter. So till then, the reader will constantly, you know, read, and he will try to find out, try to find hints, clues as to who is this person who is plotting against Nadir. So these are different ways of keeping the tempo of your book at a good pace, so that the reader does not put your book down and he constantly keeps reading to, you know, so that things get revealed to him and the plot moves at a good speed, at a very interesting speed. The fourth thing is character. Description of a character should be done through the character's gestures, actions, words, through responses to certain situations, to other characters talking about him or her. Never ever do a direct description of a character. That is very, very important. If you remember Dumbledore from Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, when he's first introduced, he's wearing a robe of midnight blue. The color itself is royal, like it should be for the best wizard in the world. When he welcomes the new students, he says that there is a time for speech making and this is not it. Just those sentences show that he is a humorous person. He's compassionate because he allows a giant who loves monsters to live in his garden shed. And he's not scared of doing things which are unorthodox because he allows a werewolf to teach young wizards. So without describing Dumbledore directly, J.K. Rowling, through all these gestures, all these events, she's able to show that he is a very splendid person. He is a humorous person. He's compassionate and he's unorthodox. So these are the ways to display character. I have tried to do it in The Legend of Genghis Khan through a scene of a hunt. So Genghis Khan as a youth has gone on this hunt. It is his first hunt. And when the hunt is over, we see his qualities as a leader. We see his skill as a huntsman. And we also see his love for nature. So in that one scene, I have tried to display all these aspects of Genghis Khan's character. Also remember, you need to always be consistent when you're showing the character. So you can't show that a character is being very kind to an orphan in one scene, and in the next scene you show him ignoring a beggar. You can't do that. So when I was writing Curse of Nadir Shah, right from the beginning, I showed that he was capable of cruelty. So even when he was a commander, he was not the Shah, and he was doling out justice, he was giving out a punishment, it was a very unusually cruel punishment. So what that showed is later, when I show him becoming a tyrant, it didn't happen all of a sudden. The cruelty was already a part of his nature. This is what I wanted to show. So this is how I built up the character. So these are some points that you should remember when you are creating or developing a character. And another very important aspect is setting. What is setting? Setting is the physical surrounding, the time period, the season, the date of certain events. Building atmosphere for a scene or an event can only happen through the setting. Let's take night. If you're writing a thriller, the darkness of night can become terrifying. But if you're writing a love story, then a moonlit night is very romantic. So a setting can be used the way you want to use it to create the ambience in your book. Settings can also throw light on a character and how and the journey of that character in your book. Let's take Shakespeare's Macbeth. Let's look at the opening scene of Macbeth. So you have this heath, which is an abandoned wasteland. You have these three witches who are generally not accepted in society, and you have thunder and lightning, which is showing, a kind of sinister, evil atmosphere. So you've already set the setting for events which could be supernatural. And what are these witches doing? They are discussing Macbeth's doomed fate. But in the very next scene, you contrast it. He has contrasted it. He has brought in a noble who is praising Macbeth to King Duncan, saying, talking about his nobility, his integrity, and his uprightness. Now the reader is intrigued. What is Macbeth? How is Macbeth's journey going to be? Is he going to remain good and noble, or is he going to give in to evil? So this is how Shakespeare uses setting to create, to, show the arc of his character's journey. Settings can build characters. So in the Legend of Genghis Khan, Padmavati, I have shown the Johar scene. There is total chaos. Women are screaming in pain and fear, and of course the fire is there everywhere. And in that horrifying scene, we find a calm figure who is sitting quietly while the fire is burning all around her. And that is where I portray Padmavati's conviction, her determination, and her strong will. And I think from that scene, the reader will understand why Padmavati became an icon in history. So this is how I have used sitting. I hope that these ideas will help you to write. But what I would recommend, and I always recommend this, is to constantly keep writing and keep editing, because that is a process that I follow very, very strongly. I adhere to it for every one of my books. So when I start writing, the first draft is like it's never up to my satisfaction. So I will keep editing, I will keep improving, and there will be several drafts. And by the time I have a final draft, which I am happy with, it's nothing like the first draft. So good writing happens through practice. The more you write, the better your writing is going to be. So with this last note, just keep writing. Don't stop writing. Be serious about your writing is what I'm going to end with. Thank you so much. Take care.